Daniel.
Brad Mitchell-Perlman is former executive director of the State Freedom of Information Commission. The Connecticut Foundation for Open Government has released a policy paper calling for elected officials and the public to consider the connection between proprietary computer algorithms owned or used by government and the public's right to know what its government is doing. And that said, Mitchell joins us. He's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. Mitchell, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning to you, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
Boy, this is really something. And when you look at a couple of these words, proprietary computer algorithms, I can hear people saying, what is he talking about?
So let's start there. How about explaining that to our audience, Mitchell?
I had the very same questions when I started looking into this, too. Maybe people of a younger generation understand it, but this is hard for us. Well, what I've learned is that government makes multiple decisions on by virtue of what's called algorithms. Now, that's a scary word, but it's really nothing more than the step-by-step process by which anybody does a task. All of us use algorithms every single day. For example, if we wanted to alphabetize our books in our library, we would say A comes before B, B comes before C, and that's an algorithm. You just have it follow a task that way. However, with computers, algorithms have become much, much more complicated, much more complex. They require mathematical procedures that are well beyond the average person to understand, but they also make assumptions based upon data that's programmed into them. And if the data or information that's programmed into them is wrong, or if the assumptions that they make are incorrect, then the outcome of it will be wrong, like somebody adding 1 and 1 and getting 3. But the problem is that government uses these algorithms to do all sorts of important things. For example, budgets are created by them. They put in data of information about people and organizations and projected tax returns, but they're also made about assumptions. You know, what economic growth is going to be. Is it going to be 1% or is it going to be 10%? And if any of those predictions or assumptions are wrong, or if the data is incorrect, then what we come out with is something that's really, really wrong. And if you're doing this, for example, setting up an algorithm to determine how much weight a bridge can hold, and that algorithm is wrong, the bridge might collapse. So it's very serious stuff. And what got us going was that in this last legislative session, the legislature passed a budget, and then within a couple of weeks, it turns out that budget that they just adopted was several hundred million dollars out of whack. Well, why? How could they have made such a big mistake in such a short period of time? Well, we never got to see what the algorithms were. So when government uses these algorithms, sometimes they create them themselves, sometimes the political caucuses create them themselves and they differ, and sometimes they purchase them from private vendors. But what we've been seeing around the country is that there's a reluctance to disclose these algorithms that are used by government to make decisions that affect our taxes, affect our livelihoods, affect indeed our lives. So we wanted to bring this issue before the public and policymakers, that is the Connecticut Foundation for Open Government, which is a tax-exempt, not-for-profit educational organization, so that people could start considering whether we need to change our laws to make sure that the public gets access to these algorithms that are used by government before they become problematic.
Mitchell, just listening to you now, there's no question that the public has to know, and we've got to change this.
Well, as in most cases, there's always another side of the story, and that is that particularly when algorithms are created by private entities, they've often spent a great deal of time and money researching and developing these things. And if they become public, then the economic value to those companies becomes significantly reduced. And that's why many of these companies and even government claims that they're proprietary, that they're owned by us, they're our intellectual property, and the public has no right to use them unless they pay for that use. So there is another side of the story here. We do have trade secrets and proprietary information that is legitimate in some cases, and it has to be balanced against what I've just described as the public's right to know.
Talking with Mitchell Perlman, former executive director of the State Freedom of Information Commission. Mitchell, can we strike a happy balance where that proprietary information is not being compromised, but the people do find out at least some of what's behind the decision-making?
I think so. Certainly, I think we can start by making clear that if government creates the algorithm, then the taxpayers have paid for it, and they have every reason to be able to get it in a timely fashion so that they can find out if there are any errors before it becomes law or something as significant is implemented. If it's created by private enterprise, perhaps it's just a question of money, just compensation for the creators of it. Where we draw the lines, obviously some algorithms, for example, in the national government dealing with national security, you know, they have to be kept secret. There's no question about that. So line drawing is the hard part, but I think there's much common ground that can be worked out among these competing interests.
Have you talked to anybody about doing something like this?
No. The work that I've done is on behalf of CFOG, the Connecticut Foundation for Open Government. And this is a nonpartisan group, and what we try to do is to raise issues and show different sides of the argument so that policymakers can become aware of them and start thinking about what to do. We don't advocate for any particular law or policy. We just bring it forth. That there are other organizations and lobbying groups that do this on behalf of the public's right to know and other groups. What we really want to do is bring to sunlight the problem, the severity of the problem. In our white paper that CFOG published, we point to some examples of problems that occurred both in New York City and in Allegheny County, where Pittsburgh is, in Pennsylvania, as to how faulty algorithms cause very significant harm.
Wow. Well, and you know, we see this on display a lot, as you know, Mitchell. For example, when crimes are committed and somebody might use an iPhone, the perpetrator, and Apple is reluctant to give up information that might enable law to crack that iPhone simply because they fear giving up proprietary information.
Well, that's exactly an example of what I'm talking about. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I tell you, when I saw the story, I said to Dan, wow. I mean, and so you start to think, how many things are there out there that we don't know about? That's the first thing that comes to your mind.
That's right, and that's the first thing that came to my mind, too. So I would urge your listeners to take a look at this white paper. It can be found on CFOG's website, which is www.ctfog.org. ctfog.org. The entire white paper and policy paper is online with the issues that we've just described succinctly for your program.
Okay, terrific.
That's terrific.
All right. Mitchell, thanks very much for informing our audience about this. It's very important. We're going to keep on it, and we'll talk again down the road.
Well, thank you very much for helping to bring this to light.
Take care, Dan. There has to be, you know, when you think of all the things that we have presented to our audience over the time that we've been together, there's got to be hundreds and hundreds more.
Oh, this is just the beginning,
Greg. Just the beginning.